Good morning again, and welcome. Good to see you all this morning. As so very often happens, I am thrilled that you're here with me, but please be aware that every little word I say, I'm speaking to myself. So I appreciate your being here to listen as well, but please know that I'm talking to myself in a good way as I talk with you this morning. If you've been with me before, you know that my book for the year is The 12 Powers of Man by Charles Fillmore. And the power that we've been working with in March is strength, and our color is green. So if you're with me next Sunday and have green in your closet, invite you to wear green or not, but just something to be aware of. The book talks about the spiritual aspects of strength, and very often strength to us means pushing, shoving, forcing. And in the book, Charles Fillmore says the spiritual aspects of strength are a little different maybe than what we might have thought. The spiritual four spiritual aspects of strength are patience. Patience having to do with endurance, persistent courage, allowing ourselves to be quiet, to listen to what we need to know, and I'll talk more about that in a little while. Another spiritual aspect of strength is tolerance, deviation from conformity. When we do, and I'm going to talk a lot more about this in a little while, but when we do our affirmative prayer, our spiritual mind treatment, whatever we choose to call it, we accept it. We say, and so it is. We say, amen. And then are we open to all the ways that that could come to pass for us, could happen for us? Or must it be this way? Do we allow ourselves, if it's got to come from, and I use the example of delivery companies, if we believe it's got to come from UPS, what if the FedEx driver is banging on the door? No, it's not for me. I'm just looking for UPS. What if the expanded income that we're looking for could come in a way that we couldn't imagine? What if the new job would be in a field that we'd never thought of before, but we keep getting the ideas that you should go here, you should call this person, you should do this? So that tolerance means, and that's not my favorite word, but we'll go with it, that tolerance means we have to tolerate or be open to a new idea or a new thought. Balance between our thinking nature and our feeling nature, or between our head and our heart. We know how it's supposed to be. We logically figure out how it's going to happen, but do we allow ourselves to be open to those other ways? And then finally, steadfastness. So I'm doing my spiritual mind treatment, my affirmative prayer, and I say, and so it is. Perfect health. Perhaps there's a health challenge, and I pray for perfect health, and I accept it, and so it is. And it doesn't heal in this moment. What's going on? Well, this stuff doesn't work. Do we allow ourselves to keep doing what we need to keep doing, or do we just say the prayer, let it be so, and so it is, and then give up? Do we stay the course? Do we keep doing what we need to do? Strength sounds like pushing the elephant up the hill, but I would suggest for us that if the purpose of whatever it is to get from point A to point B, for example, maybe the elephant, you want to get the elephant to the other side of the hill. What if he or she could go around this way rather than going over the hill? What if there's a different way to do, be, and have whatever it is we're choosing? The example that I was thinking about was, and the reason this was top of mind was, I just booked air travel. I'm going to Edwin Gaines's retreat center next month in Alabama, and then speaking in Atlanta, and then Jerry and I are going on the Affiliated New Thought Network Anton cruise for their annual convention. And so I need to get from here to the final destination. And United being the airline of choice, I could go through San Francisco, or I could go through Denver, or I could go through Chicago, or I could go through Houston, but I'll get to Knoxville, Tennessee in this case. How attached are we to the steps we must follow to get to the final destination? Or do we keep our eyes on that, we call it a manifestation, but that answered prayer, that absolute at the end of the road? How attached are we to how it's got to be this way versus how it could be? As long as we get to the destination we want, what difference does it make? But sometimes we're attached to that, how it's supposed to be. The still small voice is the most amazing thing, and call it the Holy Spirit, call it the universe, call it intuition, call it gut, call it whatever you want to, but it's been my experience that I always need to know, I always know what I need to know when I need to know it. And I bet that's been your experience as well. Talking earlier, we don't have bulletins this morning because I have the church office is in one of our bedrooms at my house, and so they're being kept very safely there because I forgot to bring them. But nonetheless, that's where the printer is, and that's where the computer is. And so it's upstairs, and so we needed a desk, and the desk didn't quite fit in through the doorway. Now, the desk, it's pretty cool because the desk was my grandmother's hardwood desk, which is really very cool. So that's the desk I use. But to get the desk in, I had to take the door off. Well, that's no big deal. You just take the door off, and you do what you need to do, and then you put it back on, right? Oh. So it's been close to a year, and the door is propped up in the bedroom, and it doesn't look so wonderful. And Jerry keeps saying, that was a really clever idea of yours, but wouldn't you like to get that door back on? And so I'm thinking, So I tried it once, but how do you hold it? You got to hold it up and match the, I know, huh? And you got to match the screw to the hole to get it started, and then... So I tried it once, and I have limited, and you've heard me say this before, I have limited patience with inanimate objects, so it needs to work really soon, or I'm done. So it didn't work, so I was done. And so it's been several weeks thinking, okay, because there's another door that came off its roller across the top, and so we need to, we'll call a handyman, and we'll pay somebody to come out and hang this door and fix the other one. And I woke up one morning and completely out of the blue, literally, the still small voice said, just go hang the door. You can do this. Okay. I tried it again. I'll try it again. It didn't work before. You know it didn't work before, but I'll try it. So in this room with the computer equipment and a small day bed, which we bought at the garage sale, by the way, our books, lots of books. And so I took two thin books, put them on the floor, put the desk on top of, or the desk, the door on top of the books, which gave me enough height to match everything up, and I rehung the door. And the still small voice said, ask. And so we had company from out of town, and the one person involved in the company used to live with us, and so he was familiar with the way it's the closet door in the other guest bedroom. The rollers go across the top. You might have seen those or have those at home. So the just come off the rollers. Could you help me? No problem. So by the time I got up to the guest bedroom to help him put this other door on back on its track, the other door was already back on its track. No handyman. Amazing. What are we being told? How often do we allow ourselves to listen to that most amazing, still small voice? Or do we say, no, you know, it's going to have to be difficult. Okay. I'm going to have to pay a lot of money. Okay. Or we could listen and allow. Amazing, amazing experience. My topic for this morning is worry or wonder. And it's that sacred time after we decide to do something. Because we're always deciding to do something, and it might just be deciding to go to the grocery store or Costco. Or it might be something that we judge as bigger in our lives. I really want to do this. I really want to find that wonderful new job. I really want to heal this experience. I really want to forgive this, whatever it is. So we make that decision, or I want to really want to have this wonderful event. So we make that decision, and between the decision process and the manifestation process or the experience process, where are we? What do we do? Do we worry? Whether it will happen or not? Do we worry if, or do we wonder how? So that's what we're talking about this morning. You know, or most of you know, the five steps in our, we call it spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer. Jesus said, pray as though you have received and you will receive. So that's why we do our prayer work in an affirmative way, knowing that it's done for us and releasing it rather than begging and praying and beseeching. So the five steps are recognition, recognizing that we're one with this loving, nurturing presence that always says yes to us. Unification, in this oneness, we can ask for what we want. We can affirm whatever it is we wish to receive, knowing that it's done for us. The third step is choosing, deciding what it is and speaking what it is, either verbally or in our minds, what it is we want to experience. Then accepting whatever it is and releasing it. And finally, thanksgiving. So there's the acceptance, and we say, traditional Christianity says amen, we say, and so it is. Exactly the same thing, because we're putting the bow on the package. We're affirming that it's done, we're putting the finishing touches on it, and then we're releasing it. But will there be enough? Will we have enough? Are we enough? Will this that we've said we wanted really happen for us? So that's what I want to talk about this morning. My question for myself, and again, I'm glad that you're here to hear this as well, but the question for myself is, so we're going to do this. We're going to do an event. We're going to heal a situation. We're going to step into the next bigger job. We're going to step into the next greater financial good. And we decide to do this in our minds. And so we do the steps. And I'll taking, for example, that looking for a different job. So you get the want ads, and you post on Facebook, and you talk to people, and you do all of this, and you're busy, actively involved in doing whatever it is. At what point between the decision and the manifestation do we do our spiritual practice? At what point do we get spirit involved in this? We're spiritual beings having a human experience. There is no place, there's no situation, there's no experience where our higher power is not, and call it God, Spirit, the universe, the infinite, the divine, whatever it is. There's no situation, there's no experience where Spirit is not. But how often do we schlep along in the process and, well, that didn't work, and I better try this, and I don't know how to do it, and now I'm getting frustrated? At what point in the process do we say, wait a minute? I could get some help here. You remember that, and you've heard me quote this before, and you will again. If you grew up in traditional Christianity, you might remember that children's song. And I don't know if it's a children's song or not. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Everything. Do we bless this decision? And by bless, I mean, do we wrap it in light? We bless this experience we're going to have. We bless this new job we're going to accept. We bless this new relationship we're going to experience. We bless this new financial good that's coming to us. When we bless it, we fill it with energy. And life says, yes, of course, I'm happy to do that with you and for you. But where do we do that in the process? Do we do it as an afterthought? Do I get to the point of being so frustrated I could almost scream, well, it was a dumb idea anyway. The economy's bad. You're too old, too young, too thin, too fat. You don't have the qualifications. They're never going to listen to you. Or do we state our intention from the beginning and then bless it with this loving, nurturing presence that is spirit? Interesting question, for me anyway. Do we still have that old, and I like to use the word residue, an old belief, an old idea, especially coming from traditional teaching, that there's somehow something out there that's going to throw a cog in the works? So state our intention, do our affirmative prayer, and so it is. What's going to delay the process? What's going to detour whatever it is? So what we say we want and we've accepted, it's not going to happen for us because is the devil in the way? Do we still have a belief in the guy with the pointy tail and the pitchfork? It's so important for us to keep going back and looking at what we really believe about this process that we call life. And if life is for us and God always says yes, then what's in the way keeping us from, we say manifesting, but experiencing or the answered prayer or whatever it is? The only thing that's in the way is our belief. Edwin Gaines, who I got to talk to this week, which was very exciting, says, what must I change about myself in order to receive this? Because we know we're not talking God into doing anything. That's big for me, coming from traditional Christianity, because you remember God up on the cloud someplace, cranky, hateful, surly, judgmental, keeping track, the old Santa Claus concept of God. You know, he knows when you've been sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Do we still have any of that? Because if we do, this is the best day you've ever had in your life to heal that. Jesus said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and the kingdom is at 10:34 on Sunday morning, not just the sweet by and by. The kingdom is what makes your heart sing. The kingdom is preposterous abundance. That's the event when you're hoping for 100 people and you get 400 people. That's the letter from the IRS letting you know you have a refund check coming. Do you know? You know that they do that. We had a small refund coming to the church from an overpayment of FICA, the monthly withholding. And it's a letter. It's a letter from the IRS. What happens when you get something from Fresno, California, zip code 93888? You know who that is. I know who that is. That's the Bureau of Internal Revenue. What happens to your heart and your pulse when there's an envelope in the mailbox? It was a letter saying we're getting a refund. I wonder if they just do that intentionally just to kind of mess with us, you know? It just makes you wonder. What are we expecting? What are we expecting? So this experience of strength has to do with steadfastness. Because when we state our intention and say, and so it is, where do we go if it doesn't manifest immediately? Do we allow ourselves to stay on the path and know that the detours are just minor blips that we can either really get upset about or not? Or do we stay the course and know that because we have accepted it, it absolutely must happen for us? So think about this intention. And again, it's a new job or a successful event or a new relationship or greater financial good or a physical healing or whatever it is that works for you. We state our intention, we do our prayer work, and then to me, we've got to nurture that experience, the thought of that experience. Think about, and this being spring, you know, funny in San Diego, now that it's spring, the weather's cooled off. It's all right. But thinking about spring and it's planting season, and so we plant those seeds, and we don't just plant them in the dirt and leave them and allow the crabgrass to grow and allow them to dry out. We nurture them. We keep the weeds and the crabgrass out. We water. We make sure they get enough sun. We do all of those things. It's the same thing with our intentions. Our whatever it is we've said we've wanted to experience, we've got to keep doing our prayer work. And when you get the thought that, oh man, there's no way this is going to happen. I'm not old enough, not young enough. I'm not going to have enough money. All the rest of that. All we need to do is talk to ourselves and remind ourselves, I don't have to worry about this because Spirit's got this. We keep bringing ourselves back to that intention. We bring ourselves back to that we have accepted. Because that's really all we're doing, is just accepting, and we need to keep accepting until that manifestation, that experience happens for us. The nurturing comes in feeling. How's it going to feel when that happens for you? How's it going to feel on your first day in that job that pays you twice what you were willing to accept? How's it going to feel when you find that perfect soulmate person? How's it going to feel when, and you get to fill in the blank. So as part of this nurturing experience, we have to have that feeling experience as well. That's why we start with parking places. And if you've been in this teaching for a while, you remember in our first year classes, very often because we want to see, how does this work? Does this, you know, the affirmative prayer and it's done unto you as you believe and all that harangue, does that really work? Well, it does. And we start with parking places. So we accept there is more than enough for everyone. I have everything I need in the moment I need it. And so we start with parking places. And we get the parking place in the front of the line at Costco at noon on Saturday. Or right next to the door at Macy's 2 days before Christmas. So, and we use those experiences of, because that's pretty cool. You know, and so often we have this difficulty meter. Okay, I can do a parking place 10:30 Tuesday morning at Costco without any problem. But again, try noon on Saturday when everybody's going in for the free samples for lunch. Try that and see how it works for you. But we do that, and it manifests for us, and so we use that and say, wow, if that happened on that day, maybe I could get that new job, which is bigger. Maybe I could get that extra income. Or expanded income. Maybe I could find that new relationship. Maybe I could do that makes my heart sing, that I just have said, gee, it would be so much fun to do that, but I couldn't possibly because I'm not enough. So we use this experience of the experience, the experience of the experience. We use this one to remind ourselves that there's no degree of difficulty in miracles. The only difficulty is what we assign to it. God is not up there somewhere saying, you know, I can do parking places from now till kingdom come, but I don't know about more money. I don't know about jobs in this economy. The universe knows nothing about the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The universe knows nothing about the price of real estate or the real estate market. Somebody just sold a house. Oh, our friend that moved to Iowa just sold a house, and it's pretty. The market is better, but she had two deals fall through until the one came that was the right one. And she kept her eye on the prize. She knew that she stated her intention. She knew that's what she wanted to do and did not get discouraged when, well, the reason that the first one didn't happen was because it wasn't the right one. The reason that the second one didn't happen was because it's not the right one, and then the third one was. But when the market was so bad, quote, end of quote, we in this congregation were selling houses all over the place. Because it has nothing to do with us. That's so important for us to recognize. Do we worry? You ever feel like you've just completely lost control of the room? You just lost control of the room. And it's not a bad thing, Mariel. It's okay. It's okay. You're way cuter than I am. I get it. In the recovery community, they say it works if you work it. Do we work it? Do we work this process that we call affirmative prayer? Do we allow the universe that says you're here to express and experience all the good that life has for you, do we allow it to do that for us? Do we get it involved from the beginning? Or do we wait until the 11th hour and say, well, okay, I guess I can try, because that's okay. We can keep doing that. I can keep doing that, and then allow the still small voice to get a word in edgewise and say, did you want some help on this? Because I'd be happy to help you. Or do we allow ourselves to go within in the beginning and bless this, whatever this is, and allow it to happen? That's all we're doing, is allowing. We're being aware of the worries, the doubts, the fears, the angers, the frustrations, the whatever, but we're not allowing them to block the road. We're just seeing them and moving past them, recognizing them and moving past them. Feel that presence of spirit and call it the infinite, call it the divine, call it the universe, whatever you choose. It is that which is within you. It's what beats your heart. It's what gives you the ideas and the longing and the divine discontent to step into something bigger and something greater. We honor that loving, nurturing presence that always says yes. In this moment, we bless Joyful Living Spiritual Center, recognizing that it is a successful, thriving idea in the mind of God. We bless the people in this very room and give great thanks for them. We honor the joy and the passion and the wisdom and the time that they bring. And we give great thanks for them, for each person in this room. We give thanks for our history. We give thanks for our future, knowing truly the best is yet to be. We bless this event called Easterpalooza. We honor and celebrate the wisdom and the joy and the passion and the creativity that has allowed this to come into fruition. And we know and accept that it is greater than we could have imagined. We say yes, thank you, and more please. And we know, we accept that we move forward on the wings of love and joy and passion in anticipation of good greater than we could have imagined. And we allow, because that's all we ever do, is we allow Spirit to say yes. For our time together, for all of you, for your being with me this morning, I give great thanks. And together we say, and so it is.